Welcome to the Beauty Edit podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry.
In today's episode, we're joined by Jim McConnell, the chemist and co-owner behind the brand Light Elegance. Jim kindly agreed to speak to us about a whole range of topics that we are all desperate to know the answers to, including whether HEMA is safe, what we should be looking out for when choosing a gel product, and more. Jim also tells us all about the history and the future for Light Elegance and their beautiful products, including their new Jimmy Gel. If you have any concerns regarding allergies or are feeling confused by misleading information online, then please keep listening. Jim's background and expertise lies in chemistry. There is nothing Jim doesn't know about nail products.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Shelby.
Thank you for joining us today on the podcast, Jim.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you. We were so delighted when you said and agreed you would come on. We were like, yay. So it's really good to have you on. Just to obviously introduce us to Light Elegance, your brand, and a bit more about what you guys produce, and obviously touch on your YouTube Chemist Corner, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to.
Brilliant. So to start off, could you give us an introduction to yourself personally, but also Light Elegance as a brand, please?
Oh, sure. So I'm a chemist. I went to the University of Oregon, got a bachelor's degree in chemistry, and then a couple of minors, all science related.
Yep.
So chemistry, I was actually pre-med when I was going to school. But when I got into organic chemistry, I really fell in love with the whole chemistry aspect of life. Everything that I ever had a question on, I found that I could solve most of it with good chemistry. And so I've always enjoyed puzzles, and that's the way I look at math, biology, and chemistry in the same way. So there's a solution in there. You just have to find out how the pieces fit together to find that solution.
Yeah. I mean, science is not my thing, but you were quite interested in science at school, Shelves, weren't you?
To a certain degree. Obviously nowhere near as much as you.
Yeah, no.
So it's really a lot of fun. And then I met Leslie when I was working at a company here in Oregon, and I went to go get my haircut, and she had just opened up a beauty salon, and she was married at the time, I was married at the time. But a year later or so, I went through a divorce. A couple years after that, she went through a separation, and we started dating. And then once we got married, I found out she was doing payroll by hand. And I thought we could computerize the salon, and that would all be taken care of quicker.
Yeah.
And so we started doing that, and she came home with a little report that showed her that she was spending a lot of money on nail products. And she goes, "You're a polymer chemist. Can't you make me a whole new nail line?" And she did it in a very nice, thoughtful, conscientious way. But it really wound up being everything that led to this. So people would come into town and get their nails done, and they'd go back home, wherever home happened to be. And then we'd get a phone call from a nail technician, be it in New York or the UK or Texas or wherever. And so she came home with an idea of we should make this new nail product and start selling it.
How long ago was this, Jim?
That was 1999.
Ah.
Yeah. So, again, being the left-brained nerd that I am, wrote code for the website, got everything up and running. And I developed our first shopping cart, in fact. It was been history. So.
Gosh, I wish my boyfriend were good at things like that.
I'm sure he's good at certain things I'm not good at, though.
So how long has Light Elegance been around for now, then?
Since 1999.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to go back, we first started, we named it Light Elegance in 1998 when it really started to take off in the salon. And people would come in, and the nail technicians, they were using LCN at the time, which is a really good product made in Germany. And the Light Elegance was basically founded on the same general principles as LCN was. So we just kind of built it up from that standpoint.
So could you explain what your products are for anyone who's listening who's maybe not sure?
Our products are gel products. So we started building a European brand of gel nail systems based on LCN, which is a thick building product. And then you have various viscosities less than that. And then you have a bonding system, a finishing system. So bonding for adhesion, finishing for gloss, and then building products in between. You kind of sandwich them all together. After we came out with the building products, the bonding and the finishing products, we had a distributor that was interested in carrying our line, but they said they'd only carry it if we came out with a colored gel system that was like IBD. So IBD here in the States came out with a color gel, but the problem was is that it was not very opaque. So if you did a colored fingernail, the entire fingernail enhancement was all the same color. So if you wanted red, the entire enhancement was red. And so what we did is we thought it'd be better if you built the structure of the nail using clear or a pink, and then you put a thin layer of a color gel on top of it. We called it a gel polish.
Yeah.
And that was in 2001. 2000 actually is when we came out with that. We started out with 10 colors and a mixing chart. And you could mix the colors together to get other colors you might want. Then we added art gels, and then we started actually pre-blending all of the colors for everybody. And that just kept on building.
Fantastic. So you do a line of gel polishes, but you also do a line of then, like what we've called a pot and brush application gel. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I'm right in saying that's a hard gel line.
It's all hard gel. All of that was hard gel until we came out with P Plus after shellac. And P Plus is a soak off gel line.
And then you've recently launched the new Jimmy Gel, or you have here in the UK anyway, which is distributed by Sweet Squared.
Yes.
Could you tell us about Jimmy Gel then, please?
So Jimmy Gel is what we saw with a lot of gel systems on the market was if they were in a brush bottle, some of them soaked off very quickly and they had great adhesion, but the durability didn't seem to quite be there.
Right, yep.
Some of them developed an allergic response to certain clienteles or certain nail technicians that we thought we should be able to avoid. So the Jimmy Gel principle was to have a gel that's as strong as our hard gel line with the speed of a brush bottle in a very clear, transparent type formulation that's water white and doesn't discolor with exposure to UV light. But it still has resistance to most chemicals, but after prolonged exposure to acetone could be removed and soaked off. So we were trying to hit the best of all worlds without having it be too quickly removed. And that's what we came out with Jimmy Gel. So Jimmy Gel was about a year and a half in the making. And we haven't had anybody with an allergic response to it at this point that we know of. It's really hit a really nice spot in the market.
Yeah. So for any of our listeners that are thinking of trying the Jimmy Gel, do you recommend soaking off Jimmy Gel every service, or would you say to infill it?
We tell people to just give it a fill. So you wouldn't soak it off and then reapply everything. One, I look at that is a waste of money. Because a Jimmy Gel is still perfectly fine sitting on someone's fingernails. So why spend the extra amount of money to replace everything that's still good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the time involved.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that with exposure to acetone removes the oils in the person's skin and the fingernail, making the skin and fingernail more brittle and could cause problems. So just to go ahead and just clean the surface of the fingernail, file everything back so that you adjust for the grow out, and then just reprime if you want to use some sort of priming system, and then reapply Jimmy Gel, reapply a gloss coat, and let it grow, let them go on. So it's pretty straightforward and simple that way. The other advantage to Jimmy Gel is that because it performs like a hard gel, you can use a potted colored gel up on top as opposed to a soak off system. You could use a soak off system on top of the Jimmy Gel as well. So you have the advantage of treating it just like a hard gel that you can soak off later on, but is very fast to apply.
Yeah. So the Jimmy Gel comes in a clear formula, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yep. So then you'd put your Jimmy Gel on first, and then you go over with your colour. And then if you were going to infill, you'd remove your colour and start again, which I guess gives you the bonus that you can put any colour on top. You don't have to start with a light.
Correct.
Work towards a darker colour.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that we wanted to touch on, and I know...
Could I just ask a question, Jim, before we sort of skip across Jimmy Gel?
Yes.
Obviously, it's a clear formulation. Do you think you will, in the future, have any plans to bring out a Jimmy Gel in like a cover pink? Or
it wouldn't surprise me to find Jimmy Gel in, I don't know, say 4 different colors in the near future.
Exciting.
Yeah. So something, you know, like maybe a soft white would be nice for doing baby boomer type nails.
Yeah.
Maybe a soft pink to accompany that.
Yeah.
And maybe a somewhat opaque cosmetic pink color, but you don't want to go too opaque, because if it goes too opaque and someone applies it too thickly, then you have that uncured layer underneath, which we want to avoid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know you just touched on it briefly a few minutes ago, but here in the UK we have quite a big allergy epidemic going on, and when people are looking for brands, nobody really knows what they should be looking for. Everybody talks about HEMA and is it safe or isn't it safe? So we were wondering if you could clear up really. So firstly, what is HEMA?
So HEMA is an acronym for 2-hydroxyethylmethacrylate. So what that is, it's a monomer that's used in acrylic and gels. And it's also used as a building block to create other resins that are called oligomers. Oligomers are large molecular weight resins that react similar to any other methacrylate or acrylate system in a gel. But the HEMA is used to help terminate that oligomer so that it reacts with photoinitiators and exposure to light.
And that's what makes it cure, is that correct?
That's correct. So if you find HEMA on an ingredient list or on the bottle itself, you'll notice if it says HEMA, H-E-M-A, followed by a comma, that is a HEMA monomer. And if the manufacturer is accurate in telling the truth, the closer HEMA is to the initial ingredient, or if it is the first ingredient, it is a major component to that system. If it's farther down the list, closer to the end, where you might find pigments, photoinitiators, that kind of thing, then it's a minor component and much smaller concentration.
Okay. Are we better off looking for it in a smaller concentration then?
Yeah, I think so. Because people do develop allergies to something, you know, a lot of different products. And HEMA seems to be one of the more allergenic methacrylates that are used in nail product.
Okay.
So is it safe to use? Yeah. Yeah. But you want that concentration to be on the lower end. You don't want it to be, say, anywhere near 30%. If it's closer to 5-10%, you're going to be fine.
Right.
So with regards to looking at a safety data sheet, you've picked a brand and you think, yep, I'd like to go with them. And you get the safety data sheet and you start looking down. So ingredients right at the top, you know that's going to be the largest quantity. But then you might see HEMA, which has got like this HEMA or dihema.
Mm-hmm.
And then HEMA, is one of them better than the other?
Yeah, so when it says bishema or dihema, those are going to be HEMA that's been bonded to the oligomer that I mentioned earlier. So the oligomer is a large molecular weight. The larger the molecular weight, the harder it is for it to enter the bloodstream. So during the process of application of gels or acrylics, one of the first things you do is make sure your client washes their hand. Then they can bring them back, and you should be cleaning that fingernail to remove any sort of moisture, oil, or debris from the fingernail itself.
Yep.
Okay. When you do that, you remove oils from the skin. The skin itself is actually quite porous. The oil itself is what helps create the chemical barrier so that things chemicals don't enter your bloodstream. And so when you do that first cleansing, then what will happen is that you open up the ability for chemicals to enter the bloodstream. All in all, not a bad thing, because most of the chemicals that we expose ourselves to are quite safe. But when you do that removal and then you put acrylic liquid on the skin, or even if you don't remove the oils, you put acrylic liquid on the skin, some of those monomers that are used in the acrylic liquid, or some of the monomers that are high concentration in the gels, can enter through the skin and get into the bloodstream. Oligomers, because of their size, makes it very, very difficult for them to be able to do that.
Is bishema and dihema, it's more, not safer, but stable. More stable. That is the word.
It is safer. Yeah, safer is a very fine and accurate term for that. And it is, both systems wind up being stable. But it is a safer molecule to use. If it has bishema or dihema in it, then just hema monomer. So if I make a system and it has bishema oligomer in there, and that bishema is a concentration of 40 or 50% of the overall formula weight, then that's going to be safe. Generally speaking, for the majority, and I'm talking 99.999% of the population, safe. But if you have hema as a monomer, and that HEMA monomer may be at 50, 60% concentration, is that generally safe for people to use? Probably not. If the HEMA concentration is less than 20%, certainly less than 30%, is that safer than 50% HEMA? Yeah. Yeah.
So in the UK, nail techs are in a very big panic at the moment. And I think they think that all HEMA is the same, and trying to avoid it like the plague. But that's not necessarily correct then. And even just HEMA on its own, as long as it's a small, small concentration, and I'm guessing as long as somebody doesn't already have an allergy to HEMA, then that should be safe for them to apply.
That's correct. Yeah.
Ah, yay! Yeah.
We like things in simple terms, don't we?
Yeah. But is there, Jim, apart from HEMA, is there any other sort of allergies or allergens which we should really be avoiding?
Yes. Yes, there are. It's a really good question. And some ingredients, now I'm a preface this by saying that some companies are told ingredients to be put on the label by a company that actually does the manufacturing for them. And so they're going to list the ingredients that they are told are in there.
Right, yep.
Okay. The other thing is that those companies might list products like THFA, so tetrahydrofurfural acrylate, as an ingredient that I wouldn't use in a gel polish, or I wouldn't use that in a gel, period. Because it can cause allergies much worse than HEMA would.
Right.
There's other ones like isobornyl acrylate, so IBOA is another way to put it, isobornyl acrylate. And that one I would not use either. They're fast reacting, they have very good adhesion, they have low odor, but at the same time, they are extremely allergenic.
And when you say you wouldn't sort of use these, or you would avoid these, is that completely? So we're not even talking a small percentage.
I would even have them in my warehouse.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I have people with protective equipment, and I train them how to handle them, and I would not have them in here. We'll bring some of these things in only for evaluation purposes.
Yep.
So we can do testing with them to find out if we can duplicate competitors' products. But even then, they don't leave the R&D lab. They stay in the R&D lab. People with degrees in chemistry are the only ones that touch them.
Yeah. I think for anybody listening, I think hopefully this conversation that we've had with you will just sort of just clarify a little bit of the information that's out there. Because I think on social media, people are being advised and told one thing, and they're not necessarily the people in the know like yourself. You know, they're not chemists. And I think to get hear it from yourself is the best advice, really. And obviously, we know you've got a YouTube channel, which is The Chemist Corner. And that I always say to people, if ever I see a comment, I always just type in and say, you know, just pop over to YouTube and just have a look at Jim's channel. Because it does, I mean, it mind blows me. I'm like, oh my goodness. I get to like the second thing you've said and it's like monomer and ligament. And I'm like, yep, I'm with you. And then I'm like, I'm not with you. You lose me after that. But I think I've generally got the gist of what we should be looking for and what we should be concerned about. So I hope that listeners will too, basically.
And keep in mind too, if you're on the Chemist Corner YouTube area and you have any kind of questions, we have people that monitor all of those videos and they will shoot me an email saying, hey, Jim, this just posted. Can you answer it? And we'll answer specific questions and they'll ask me to do it. Or if they don't know the answer already, because I've trained them and taught them, you know, what's good, what's not, what's a proper response.
Yeah.
So that people have a true idea of what's going on. And our idea is to give nail technicians the most knowledge that they want and accurate knowledge so that they can choose what's best for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it comes down to specifics. I mean, not everybody's going to be allergic to HEMA. And so if you have maybe a population of nail technicians, they're going to show an allergic response of maybe 0.5% of all nail technicians may show an allergic response to HEMA at concentrations greater than 20%. Is HEMA the problem? No, not necessarily. It's not necessarily the problem. But it's the person, their work area, how they work, how they function, and their body's response to the chemicals that they get exposed to.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors that go into it. So just flagging HEMA and saying HEMA's the problem is not fair to HEMA as a product, and it's not fair to the companies that use it, making sure that people are trained properly how to handle it, making sure it's not dribbled all over the work surface, and they put they rest their forearms into it.
Yeah, and all around the bottle lid.
Yeah, and it drips down the bottle, and then they handle the bottle with ungloved hands. There's a lot of things that people can do differently to make sure that they handle things appropriately, positively, and that will have a better response.
Yeah, I think nail techs are more aware now as well of these issues, which we've just explained, and everybody in the UK are wearing protective gloves.
They certainly will be when we can all reopen.
Yeah.
If they weren't before, they were now.
Yeah. I think a lot has come out or will come from this conversation.
Yeah. I think so.
So I know you mentioned just then about some things can be how, say, the tech's work area or maybe they're not being clean or safe when using products. It's just made me have a thought when we mentioned about gloves then. Obviously, we know quite a few people that have experienced a reaction already to some sort of gel. So their fingers are very sore. They're having to double glove just to avoid touching a product that they're allergic to. If somebody's already had an allergy to a product, what would you recommend that they do?
Stop using that product.
Like elegance.
The other thing is contact the manufacturer too.
Yeah, report it.
Right. Well, just ask them questions. And if the manufacturer can't answer the questions, maybe you're dealing with the wrong product.
Yeah.
Right?
And these techs that have had issues, am I right in thinking once you've become sensitized and had an allergic reaction to a chemical that you will always, or will it be once you cease using what you think is the cause that it will rectify itself?
It will never rectify itself.
Yeah.
It will lessen severity but it will never, you will never be able to use that product safely again, or any other product that might contain that same material.
So it might not necessarily be the product as a whole, but it's going to be an at least one ingredient within that product.
Right.
Right.
And if the concentration of that one ingredient, let's say you're using product A that contains THFA, and the THFA is at a concentration of, say, 35%. If you get exposed to something, a different manufacturer's product that may not even contain THFA, so tetrahydrofurfural acrylate, maybe it contains tetrahydrofurfural methacrylate at a concentration of, say, 15%, you may develop an allergy to the product that contains THFMA because of your allergic reaction to THFA that you already have. So in my Chemist Corners, I talk about gateway allergens, and THFA winds up being a gateway allergen to THFMA.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought, but I just wanted to just sort of get that question answered by yourself.
No, I appreciate it. It's a great question to have.
I bet you get asked it all the time, don't you?
Only at bars and restaurants.
Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully by chatting to you today, we'll have just helped anybody that's maybe looking for a new brand, maybe wants to try Jimmy Gel and the Light Elegance products, to maybe just, you know, have a look. They know what to look out for now. So hopefully we might have just done that little bit of that extra work just to help nail techs here in the UK.
Yeah. You know, and again, I think that trying to find a product that's safe to use is important, but how do you make that determination on what is safe and what is not safe? And when you talk to, if you have a question, if you talk to the distributor of that product or the manufacturer of that product, and you try and ask a specific question, if you don't get a specific response back, or you get a response that doesn't seem to add up to you, continue to ask questions. And then hopefully you'll get an answer and you'll have enough knowledge so that you feel like you're making the right decision.
Yeah.
If you are asking those questions and you don't get specific responses back, maybe it's not the right product for you.
Mm.
Maybe it's something that you should avoid buying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally. So just going back to Light Elegance then. What does the future hold for Light Elegance?
Oh, let's see here. Growth. we do have quite a broad product line, obviously. If anybody's unfamiliar with Light Elegance, we started out with just 5 products and then added quite a bit on top of that. At this point, we tried in stock in our color lines. We have 3 different color lines, actually 4: glitter gels, hard color gels, buttercreams, and our P Plus line. And within those 4 product lines of just color, we probably have right around between 400 and 500 colors.
Wow.
Yeah. And that doesn't include our building gels. So we have a huge selection of building gels as well that range in viscosity. And so the thicker the products, the less slump you're going to get, the less running off in the cuticles and sidewalls. We have a couple of different gloss gels, one that's tack-free, one that's not. We have a few different bonding systems that seem to work very, very well with everybody. I know of in the world that we sell our product to, I know of 3 people that have allergies to our product. 3, that's it.
Wow.
We do a lot of what's called rip testing. So rip testing is skin contact testing with volunteers. We don't test on animals other than human beings. But the rip testing is where you lay down, you put someone on their stomach on a medical bed, and then you expose their skin to various systems, to various products. So we'll test not only our raw materials, but our finished goods, or not only our finished goods, but the raw materials that go into it. For rip testing.
So is that what, here in the UK, is that what we would call a patch test?
Yes. Like, a patch test is another name for the same test. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. Yeah.
So that's like when you you go to like a doctor's or a dermatologist and they'll just put lots of different, almost like draw a graph on your back,
yeah,
and then fill each square in with different chemicals for whatever, you know, your problem is, whether that's you've had a reaction to maybe something you're wearing on your nails, or you have hay fever or something like that. So it's that kind of test that you do.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Fab. That way we know the products that we're actually manufacturing are safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, how does anybody know if they're safe?
Exactly. And I think that you're going to find a lot of the more popular, more responsible companies do the same testing. I've been amazed, the more companies I'm exposed to, the more interactions I have with those companies, the more that we all follow the same procedures, because we all, most of the companies receive their technical direction from chemists or material scientists. And as a result, we're all familiar with the same test methods. We're all familiar with the same product information. We're all familiar with the same procedures. And as a result, we all follow the same procedures, which would be standard type science techniques. And it's amazing how responsible most of the people in the industry wind up being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I've just had a bit of a quick thought, and I'm backtracking a little bit here. This is sort of going back to the whole sort of allergies and things like this. Here in the UK, and I'm sure it's probably the same in the US, we're always told not to mix systems. Can you tell us the reason why we shouldn't mix systems?
Yeah, the reason why is that I don't know what somebody else may have put into their system. We make products, right, for ourselves. And I know what goes into our system. And when we actually make a batch of anything here at our facility, we test it to make sure that it cures properly in the current light that we're selling and every previous light that we've ever sold.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I even test it in some of my competitors' lights. So every batch of something that we make is actually tested in one of between 4 and 7 different lights, depending upon what that product is. I don't know if a different brand does the exact same thing. And because we have a lot of brands that come out on the market, are there for a couple of years and then disappear from the market, because we see those things, I can't test every other brand on the market to see how well it cures in our light. And if it does cure in our light, how does it, is it compatible with all of our gels? And so since I can't do that, it's best just to say, stick with our system and cure it in our light. If someone wants to see if a different system is going to cure it in our light, they can send me their system and I'll cure it in my light and give them a response, what the proper cure time is and what the percentage of the conversion of the bonds that can be formed will be formed. So I can give them that information. But you see, figure this. When we first started, we were one of 4 manufacturers in the world that made gels. And there were only about, say, maybe a dozen different systems on the market. Now we have hundreds of systems on the market. And we have the introduction of a couple dozen new companies every year to the gel nail product line. And so trying to keep up with all of the new products, all the new companies, everything, is really, really difficult. So the safest bet for us to make sure that someone's going to be safe in the salon is to say, if you use our system alone. And if you do, use our light. There's a few companies that are large and have been around for a long time that I can say you're safe to cure their gels in our light, or you're safe to use the two systems together. And you can talk to your distributor and find out what those products are, because those distributors received a really good training program from us. But in the meantime, just sticking with a system is always wisest.
Yeah, that's just what we've always been taught. That's how we've been educated, and it's what we've always done. But I think some people are thinking, maybe I'll swap out this base from this company and I'll use this color from this company, and I'll use this top coat because it's shinier from this company.
Mm-hmm.
So, and They might even cure the base coat in one lamp, the colour coat in another lamp, and use the correct lamps for the correct component, but then mix in the entire service.
And how do you know that that's going to be successful?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. A good example would be IBD has a top coat that cures tack-free, or they did. And that top coat was so hard and brittle that if you applied that top coat and cured it over our building gels, it would cause our building gels to crack.
Yeah.
So even though you're using their top coat with their light and our building gels with our light, mixing the system caused the entire system, the entire enhancement to fail.
Yeah.
Because our system wasn't formulated to be used with that top coat.
Yeah. So it's like a product breakdown, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good point, Shelby, because I think people will then understand it.
Yeah, my, not confusion, but sometimes I think, well, obviously years ago, we used to do with a lot more acrylic nails in salon. We don't actually offer any now just because it's not a popular service as much as it used to be. But when we used to do acrylic nails, you would finish off your acrylic nail, you would buff it, and then you would go on with whichever gel polish line you preferred. And it just made me think, well, how come I can do that with... I could use an acrylic from one brand, but a gel polish line from a different brand, and they were fine. But I can't use a colour coat and a top coat from two separate brands, because they might not be. That was the only reason why I wasn't sure why we're not allowed to mix brands.
Yeah, it's a good question. And oftentimes, if you look at the entire system, if you're applying something soft on top of something that's harder, you're going to be fine. But if you're trying to apply something hard on top of something that's soft, then you might have problems. And so my example with the IBD top coat, as good as that top coat is on top of IBD product or on top of acrylic, our gel system, our building gel, was designed to be hard and flexible. And it was that flexibility that caused a problem, because the top coat had no flexibility in it at all. And since there was no flexibility, but you're putting on top of a base building gel that is flexible, as soon as that base building gel would flex, that top coat would crack, and that crack would go all the way through the building gel.
I suppose it's like building a house on jelly. Uh-huh. you know, like
on not cement.
Yeah, you know, not on the correct foundations. So your house would just
crumble.
Crumble, wouldn't it?
Or like the Bible says, you don't build a house on sand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you want a solid foundation. So you just need to make sure the foundation is solid enough for their house. If you're trying to put a tent down, you can put a tent on sand and be fine. But if you're going to try and build a castle, that's not going to work out.
Yeah. So does that answer your question, Shelby? Were you thinking...
My thought was, how come I can put a gel polish on top of, say, an acrylic? But I guess you've just explained, because a gel polish is going to be softer than what an acrylic is. Is that correct?
Correct. And the acrylic is going to be your harder foundation, so the softer gel polish would be fine. But if you wanted to put, say, gel polish down first as your foundation, but then you try and put that IBD tack-free top coat on top, as good as both systems might be, that IBD top coat is going to make your color foundation crack and fail.
Right.
So as long as your foundation is hard and solid, harder than the next product that goes on top of it, you should be fine.
So the chemicals in, say, an acrylic overlay and then the gel polish that you're going to put on top, will you never have a problem in relation to allergies by putting one on top of the other?
Run that by me again, please.
Sorry. So, you know, earlier you mentioned that you don't know what's in another brand's gel polish, so you wouldn't recommend mixing the two because you just don't know what's in that other product, basically.
Right.
When it comes to an acrylic, is that okay to do? Because are acrylics always made a certain way, so you're aware that you can put... So, for example, you could put one of your gel polish over an acrylic overlay.
Yeah. You know, Generally speaking, you should be fine putting any kind of gel polish on top of an acrylic.
Right.
But if you talk to the manufacturer, they may say, please just use our gel polish over our acrylic. Because if you have failure, and let's say you're using C&D shellac and you're putting that over Light Elegance acrylic, if you have failure, C&D is going to be like, well, you shouldn't be using our gel polish over their acrylic. You should be using our gel polish over our acrylic. Then they can help you because they know how that system will work.
Yeah.
But C&D may not have tested the use of their shellac over our acrylic system, and vice versa. If you call us, I might say, I've never put shellac over our acrylic system, so I don't know. If your gel polish maybe has acetone in it, and we know acetone breaks down acrylic, maybe the acetone is what's breaking down the acrylic and causing the problem. But if you go to a gel polish system that is 100% gel, no solvent, and you put that over your acrylic, maybe you aren't going to have a problem at all.
So I think, Shelby, were you thinking, like, when it came to mixing brands, were you thinking the chemical from one system and the chemical from another system could potentially mix?
Yeah.
I was sort of maybe thinking that, but then I was thinking, well, is that the case because you've your base coat you've put in and you've cured and that's the end of the chemical processing, curing, and then you put the next one on, is that going to sort of interact with the base?
Yeah.
Will the chemicals mix?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if the reason why we shouldn't mix brands is because the chemicals could mix and cause a problem. Does that make sense?
Yep, they could. Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And that's kind of where I was going with the acetone and a gel polish. If someone has a gel polish with acetone gets mixed with the acrylic base, and that could cause failure.
Yeah.
Okay. Or with Jimmy Gel. If Jimmy Gel is your base and you put somebody else's gel polish on top that has acetone, acetone is going to attack that Jimmy Gel.
Yeah.
And it could cause problems with the Jimmy Gel. Or here's another example. If you have two different gel systems, even within the same manufacturer, like when we went from UV only gels to UV LED gels, if someone had our old gel system, we had a photo initiator in there that did not work well with the photo initiators that were in the UV LED formulations. So if you mix a UV LED formulation, put that on top of an older UV only building gel, it would cause additional yellowing because the photo initiator interaction was not a good interaction. And as a result, it caused it to turn yellow.
Yeah, so I think you'd just be in a whole big pickle not knowing if you were to have an issue or the gel overlay didn't last or you had chipping. It's hard if you've done that as well to try and figure out what's caused that
or what went wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. And it just complicates it when you mix systems.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It sounds complicated, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So if anybody here in the UK wishes to purchase Light Elegance, where do they go to buy your products?
We have a great distributor in the UK. They do cover all parts of the UK and Ireland, and it's Sweet Squared. They have great educators. They have a great education program. They give wonderful support for their customers. And they have very good shipping responses too. So when you order, it gets shipped out very quickly.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
They both said at the same time.
I can't speak highly enough of our partners there in the UK. So that's who I would call Sweet Squared. You can look them up online. I'm sure that you've probably, if you're a nail technician or anybody in the beauty industry, you've heard of them. They advertise in Scratch Magazine. Again, one of the best nail publications in the world. So you really can't go wrong there in the UK with our partners.
Yeah. And also, you're on all social media platforms. So anybody that wants to just come along and just have a look at your range or, you know, follow any of your ambassadors, you're on Instagram and Facebook.
We are, and YouTube. YouTube. I think someone's posting on TikTok as well.
So, oh really?
Yeah.
Was it Selena that was posting on TikTok actually?
I think she's one of the people that is posting on TikTok, but
I'm sure I've seen. I've got to say I have fallen down the TikTok rabbit hole quite a few times. So yeah, I did spot something. But we're very fortunate. We live in Leeds, so Sweet Squared is on our doorstep.
You are lucky.
We are very fortunate that we can actually drive up and go to the shop. So we have seen all your amazing glitter gels. Oh, yeah. Oh, they are so beautiful. Yeah,
definitely.
Thanks.
Yeah, we love a bit of glitter.
And I do have to give a shout out too. I mean, we have some outstanding educators that cover all of the UK. You know, so if you happen to be south of London or north of London or up in the Leeds area, or if you're up in Scotland or over in Ireland, we have awesome brand ambassadors that cover the UK in all of those areas. And Sweet Squared has done a great job locating those people, making sure that they're trained, that they have supplied all of the most recent products that hit the market. So all of our educators, all of our brand ambassadors in the UK are 100% familiar with the entire line.
Yeah.
I know Sweet Squared have done quite a few lives recently as well and demos with your products. So obviously if anybody wants to go across to, I think it's, they've just changed the Instagram, it's Sweet Squared Nails now.
Yeah.
They'll be able to find out more information as well on your products, and some little video tutorials I think are available there as well.
Yeah, and when everybody opens back up again and we are just 100% running like normal, that they'll be conducting classes some more. I know some of the classes that were scheduled were canceled right when the virus hit. Yeah. So, and they supplemented that with a lot of online work. And that will continue, but at the same time, the face-to-face, hands-on, walking around the room training will start back up again.
Which is crucial, and
it is.
I don't think you can get away from actually going on a physical training course and seeing somebody do it in front of you.
Yeah.
Be able to try it yourself with somebody watching over and giving you criticism.
Yeah, and have someone like Jenny Smith, say, let me show you, darling, and take you out of your chair. They sit in your chair and they show you hands-on, try this.
I've got to say, Jenny has been amazing actually recently for us, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has.
We did purchase Jimmy Gel. we've not really had a good play around with it because we're obviously in lockdown. But I did message Jenny and ask her a few questions. And I'll be honest, I was applying it too thin at first. And she was amazing. And she FaceTimed. She said, oh, I'll FaceTime you. And I was like, oh my gosh. So she FaceTimed me and sat and went through it on FaceTime. So for her to take the time out of a day to help me like that, I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
She's a gem. She really is. But I do have to give kudos to the rest of our educators over there. Any Absolutely. One of them would do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Each and every
not
one.
Not just in the UK, but there's a lot of people, wider in Europe as well.
Yes.
That you have brand ambassadors all over.
We do. And one of the things that we look for, we don't look for quantity of brand ambassadors and educators. We look for the quality of the human being behind that chair.
Yeah.
Who is that person, and do they care about the nail technician that needs to have questions answered?
Yeah.
And if they're that kind of person, they're our kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're big believers in quality over quantity.
Yeah.
That's why I only have two friends. And if my friends are listening to this, they'll probably be agreeing.
I'll be your friend too if you want to have me.
Oh, thank you. We'll make it three now.
Okay.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been amazing chatting to you. And thank you so much for clearing up some really interesting and difficult questions.
Yeah, I think really important questions in the industry right at this moment as well.
The pleasure has been mine.
Oh no, it's been ours.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, all right. Jim.
You guys have bye. A great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of The Beauty Edit Podcast.